Good morning. As she said, I'm Roger Kipp, Director of Food Service Nutrition with Norwood City Schools in Norwood, Ohio. For those of you who don't know, Norwood, Ohio is surrounded by the city of Cincinnati and Cincinnati School District. So we're still just Cincinnati, just too much pride to be incorporated by Cincinnati. First, I'd like to sort of start off by stating that I'm both honored and humbled to be asked to present to you all today and to be part of such an esteemed panel. 6 years ago, if you said to me, boy, you're going to be presenting at the American Public Health Conference, I'd have said, yeah, whatever. That just wouldn't have happened. I don't understand a lot of the science. I don't know how they get it. This stuff about peeing in a cup, we don't do that. However, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look out there and see the unbelievably declining health of our nation's children, let alone us. You know, it's gotten sad. I don't like to make it an obesity issue because I don't want it to become a body image issue. And I think we made a mistake when we first came out and said, oh, it's about obesity. It's not about obesity, it's about health. I can't tell you the number of thin kids that come into my cafeterias every day with all kinds of health disorders, eating disorders, you name it, allergies, that just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. So a little bit about what I wanted to talk today, and I could go on in 1,000 different directions, but you know, all of this stuff is great, and all the statistics showing how many schools are being successful and how much, you know, we're doing wonderful things with whole grain and we're reducing sodium is fabulous. But if the kids don't eat it, it doesn't matter. If our school cafeterias fail financially, it doesn't matter. If money has to come out of the school's general fund budget, money that should be used for education in order to balance the books of a failing food service operation, it doesn't matter. If we don't educate people as to why it's important that we change the food culture in our country and we do it sooner than later, it doesn't matter. So a little bit what I want to do today is kind of go over some of those challenges. These are the pretty obvious challenges that you will hear most people in my role discuss. I am not going to talk about these because you already know this. You already know how hard it is to do some of these things. 4 of my 5 schools, the buildings are 100 years old. The equipment is 50 years old. And the staff is, yeah. So that you guys already know. I really don't want to discuss these challenges. I want to talk a little bit more about the challenges that aren't as obvious, at least to some. And there are 3 pretty much basic challenges. We have huge challenges in our educational system when it comes to change. This is the way we've always done it. Pretty simple. Well, I've always sold candy bars. They're the best fundraiser. They bring the most money. We have to raise money. These kids don't have money. So there's no other way to do it. We can't think outside the box. We can't be more creative than selling candy bars. Culture. You know, we are destroying or have already destroyed the food culture of our nation. When the food culture of our nation has 2 big giant arches because it's convenient and it's easy because we're too busy to actually cook food or to make food or to go somewhere where they actually cook their food themselves, I think that's sad. Now, I'm a foodie, so obviously I'm going to have a little bit more tugging at my heart than some other people, but the final thing is the time issue. And I'm not talking about just that we're always in a hurry and that we like convenient foods and we want to go faster and faster and faster with our daily lives. I'm talking about the time to serve a healthy meal compared to the time to serve an unhealthy meal. Chicken nuggets and French fries. If I go through the lunch line and my options are chicken nuggets and French fries, and they have broccoli there too if I want it, it's easy for me to make that decision. That's what I want. I sit down, I can shovel that stuff into my face with my hands in a fairly fast time frame so that I can then go and socialize with my friends. We've changed the guidelines in schools. We've said no more. We're not doing the French fries and the chicken nuggets and the pizza every day. We're now going to different foods. We make 60% of the items on our menu from scratch. We have a roasted vegetable bar. We offer everything from onions and peppers, like a fajita style vegetable, through cauliflower and broccoli and zucchini. We do a potato mash blend, roasted with regular russet potatoes and also sweet potatoes. And we even do things like Brussels sprouts and things that are not as common that people think that they don't like. We season them ourselves, we oven roast them, they're fabulous. Guess what? You don't sit down and shovel Brussels sprouts in your mouth like this. You don't eat turkey pot pie that we make from scratch in our own kitchens. You don't eat the cheesy potato ham bake that we make from scratch. You don't shovel that in with your hands. Those things require a fork or a knife or a spoon, and it takes a little bit more time to get that into your body. So that's the kind of time I'm talking about. We'll get to the time thing in a minute. Change. This is an actual email that was sent out that I received in my district, in my school district. Now keep in mind, we are doing some wonderful things. There's a handout in back that kind of goes through our menu of success and some of the things that we do. We are being successful at what we do, but this still happens, and this is the challenge. Miss Teacher's class sold the most cookie dough and received an ice cream sundae party. The limo ride to Mickey D's for lunch will be tomorrow. The name of the limo... Really? How many things are wrong with this, and why? Okay, first of all, we're rewarding people with food. We need to stop doing that right now, period. Secondly, we're selling something that we're not supposed to be selling based on the Smart Snack guidelines. If we took all of the policemen off the highway, I would have gotten here a lot faster, but because nobody's regulating my speed. If nobody's there to regulate my speed or to give me a ticket if I go over the speed limit, then it doesn't matter how I drive. Nobody is policing the Smart Snacks. We're simply told, don't do it. So what happens is the food service director becomes the food Nazi, sitting downstairs in his basement office, that has to send an email out to the entire staff saying, you're not allowed to do that. And then the principal or the superintendent responds to you and says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. A week later, it's the underground. Okay. Whoops, went backwards. Sorry. Not to mention, how many students are not going to go through my lunch line and participate in my lunch program, which brings money to my bottom line? Let's forget about the nutritional side of it. If I don't have customers, why do I even exist? So, culture. Quick, convenient, cheap, and it has to look good. We have been destroyed through our childhoods on what real food is. If it's not quick, if it's not convenient, if it's not cheap, then we don't want it. We're destroying that. And that's through a lack, well, it's a lack of education on one side, but a brilliant amount of education on the side of some of those manufacturers and those people that create all that branding and all that marketing. Kid-friendly foods. What the heck does that mean? Breakfast foods. What's breakfast foods? If you look around the world at other cultures and say, what do your kids eat? Well, they eat what we eat. Well, what do you eat for breakfast? Whatever we're hungry for. I mean, since when is it that you have to have an egg biscuit with sausage and American cheese on it for breakfast? You know, when did we get away from... Maybe you just want something else. Maybe you want some of the leftovers that were out of your refrigerator from the night before. We've created this image of what our food should be, and that's not what food is. Food is a sustainable thing that we need, our bodies need to have energy throughout the day. It's not a matter of we only eat it at this time. You can't serve breakfast at lunchtime. That's breakfast stuff. That makes no sense. You know, it just dumbfounds me how we've gotten kind of crazy. Picky eaters. And I think I heard somebody earlier say something about high school kids are picky. Picky eating is often a problem of plenty. I don't believe you really have such a thing as a picky eater. Yes, some people don't like textures. You know, beans have sort of a gritty texture. Some people just don't like that. My wife doesn't like that. Now, some people might like something a little on the sweet side. Some people might like something a little on the salty side. The problem we've run into is we've become so inundated with massively salty or massively sweet foods that we crave the other. You know, my wife, love her to death, but she knows I do this, so I'm not in trouble. But she knows that she can sit down and eat something salty, but then she needs something sweet. Well, then she needs something salty. Well, then she needs something sweet. And then she goes, honey, I can't lose weight. Well, our bodies become addicted to these substances because there's so much of it in it. It's not just a flavoring tool any longer. Time, here we go. Middle school students, 301 of them. They all go to lunch at the same time. Lunch period lasts for 30 minutes. It's kind of funny. I get invited to a math class and I did this problem because I think it's this simple. Assuming each student gets at least 10 minutes to actually eat their lunch, how much time does each student have to get through the lunch line? Well, that's 20 minutes multiplied by 60 seconds is 1,200 seconds. That divided by the 301 students is 3.98 seconds. When I share this with principals, when it comes to the beginning of the year and they're making their lunch schedules, one of the most common responses, well, not all 301 students go through the lunch line. Well, gee, maybe they would if it didn't take 3.98 seconds for them to get through it. How many of them don't go through the lunch line because they don't want to wait in the line? How many of them don't go through the lunch line because they don't want to have you over their shoulder when time is up saying, finish that or throw it away? We have got to change the time that we serve our children lunch. If we're going to change what we serve them, then we have to change the amount of time that we allow for them to eat it. We also have to teach them how do you actually eat and socialize at the same time. If our teachers all get to go to lunch at the same time, and we've got aides that we hire from outside the district to come in and work with them who really aren't knowledgeable on how to educate, that kind of thing, what good does it do? Hence, Mentor Mondays, Learning Lunch Wednesdays, where we actually say, teachers, you want to eat lunch for free? Come sit, get something healthy, sit with a table of students, and talk to them about making healthy choices. Now, I didn't say healthy food choices or eating healthy. I said healthy choices. I don't care if you talk to them about bullying. I don't care if you talk to them about homework and how you can work, make more time for homework. Do it while you're eating and teach them how to do that. Teach them how to use their fork and their knife and their spoon. Yeah. Teach them why, oh, these are Brussels sprouts. I like these. I normally cook them this way at home, but this is a really nice way that they cooked them, and I like them too. Like that way too. Educate. You might notice a theme in my discussions or some of the literature I have on the whole serve, nourish, and educate thing. To me, it's great for us to say we're going to change the guidelines. Whoop, there we go. Never used to have to wear reading glasses till the guidelines came out. It's one of my things. For me, it's more than just changing what we do in the cafeteria. We are the people in the basement. Food service operators in schools have always been those people down there. And I mean that both literally and figuratively speaking. We need to start being viewed as a part of the educational process. It's amazing how many different parts of the curriculum I can teach in one 15-minute period, let alone a whole classroom. Nutrition, how we eat, food culture, can be taught in every format. Math class, English class, history class, science class, I don't care. We can do that. We need to learn how to do multiple things at once, not just follow our curriculum and this is what our time, this is what we have to do. We have to get away from that. We have to invite the food service directors and their teams into our classrooms and say, we can change. We do just that. You'll see different girls here in the picture. I partner with the University of Cincinnati's dietetic program, and I have on average 10 different interns a year. They seem to be amazed that I want as many as possible, 3 at a time. Oh, we don't want to overwhelm you. Oh, that's not possible. Send me 6. I don't care. I will find classrooms and find things for them to do. We get out and do all kinds of things. We go through training. All of my staff wears a chef coat when they're working with food, serving it, cooking it. They may not have graduated from culinary school. I did not graduate from culinary school. I worked my way up the ladder the hard way and learned it the hard way by doing a lot of dishes in my life. However, we are chefs. We serve 2,200 students a day, right?
We manage multi-million dollar budgets. We procurement for all of that, transportation of food. I create recipes. We do all of these things, nutritional analysis, cost analysis, you name it. If you do those things, you're a chef. You need to be start looked at in a more professional manner. So we have created that image with our staff so that when the teachers come down, they're like, look, these guys have been taught. They understand how to make food so that it's healthy and tastes good so that they can learn to eat it. We read, you know, Cat in the Hat to classrooms and talk about trying new things. We do bulletin boards. We work with local athletic sponsors and things along that lines. More culinary training for our staff, partnering with other people as well, and school gardens. Work with the city to get them to donate the property for us to put in a community / school garden. Summary. Serve, nourish, look out, microphone. Serve, nourish, and educate. You know, when I first came to work in a school district, never working in a school before, all these teachers and principals had these cute little taglines or quotations. So I thought, well, I need to have one. So I made up my own, serve, nourish, and educate. It's pretty simple. You know, it is our passion to serve our students meals that they will grow to love. You heard this in the beginning, nourish a better student, educate our students and staff. For me, this was how I fixed the program that I'm currently in. First, let's just serve them. Let's give them something to eat. Then let's work on the nutritional side of it. Let's make sure what we're serving is a well-balanced meal. And then let's teach them why. If we don't teach people why, then what's the point? You know, you didn't get people to wear seatbelts. We still haven't completely succeeded at that. But you don't get them to wear seatbelts unless you teach them why it's important to wear the seatbelt. If I follow a car down the street and their four-year-old is bouncing back and forth while the car is traveling down the road, we can't convince them to wear their seatbelt. How am I supposed to convince them that they should eat less sodium? We really have to work hard at the educational side. What can you do? One of the reasons I really felt honored to come and present to this group, you guys are not my peers. You probably don't work in school food service operations, probably don't serve children meals. However, if we're to fix these problems, it's you guys that I need to see going out into your children's schools, into your neighborhood schools, into your grandchildren's schools, whatever they may be, and saying, why is this happening? I mentioned earlier, smart snacks aren't really being policed by anybody. I've now deputized you all. Get out there and police what's going on in your school. Why is my child coming home with a box of candy and selling it when kids aren't supposed to be selling candy at school? Well, they don't really sell it at school. They can go door to door with it. Well, that's still the concept. We're not teaching them the right thing if we say, just don't do it here. That's like saying, just don't steal here. Go steal somewhere else. I don't like math. I don't like algebra. I don't want to do algebra. But somehow we still teach it. Just because I don't like broccoli doesn't mean I shouldn't serve it. We should teach them why it's important for them to eat that. Right. So that's the charge I have to you guys. Go to your PTA meetings. Go to your school board meetings. Attend these things. Walk into your school cafeteria. Get a pass. Can we come down? Call the director. I want to help. What can we do?